World Football at AFCON with John Bennett.
Hello there. Will we ever get a day off from intense, nerve-wracking, outrageous late drama at this Africa Cup of Nations? Doesn't look like it. I'm certainly not complaining, though. Algeria, the 2019 champions, are out after a massive shock. A fairy tale story for Mauritania, who win their first ever AFCON game to join Angola and Burkina Faso in the last 16. We will analyse what went wrong for Algeria. Plus, five-time winners Cameroon through to the last 16 after two late goals to beat the Gambia 3-2 in another amazing game at what's been an extra special tournament so far. They will now play Nigeria. Reaction to come, and it's official. After their Monday night Mozambique collapse, Ghana are out in the group stage for the second successive AFCON. 2015 AFCON semi-finalist, former DR Congo captain Gabriel Zakuani is here. Gabby, every day gets more dramatic than the last. Was playing at the AFCON less stressful than watching this AFCON?
I mean, this one, yeah, for sure. It was definitely less stressful than this one. I mean, I need an asthma pump for every game that goes on. I mean, it's just so much happening. But it's brilliant to watch, though, John.
Yeah, it's sensational. Let's get to Group D, first of all. A huge shock. The group winners are Angola, going through in second, Burkina Faso, going through in third, Mauritania. That means 2019 champions Algeria are out. They go out suffering a massive upset. Mauritania 1, Algeria 0. You heard it correctly. Before kickoff, Mauritania had never won an AFCON match. They'd never even taken the lead in an AFCON game, believe it or not. But they went 1-0 up. Yali Delahi, Algeria's biggest star, Riyad Mahrez, after hitting back at his critics a few days ago, had been dropped. He came on at half-time. It made no difference. Second half, both sides had chances. Mauritania giving as good as they were getting. They hit the bar late on. Algeria huffed and puffed, but couldn't score. And that's correct, isn't it, Gabby? This was a deserved win for Mauritania. This wasn't a smash and grab.
No, they got it tactically spot on. You know, they went from back to front a lot quicker than Algeria did. You know, the pass count was massively in Algeria's favour. Possession, they only had 25% of the possession, which tells you their sort of game plan was just to get as quick as possible into the opposition's area, which they did really well and it was effective. But in terms of shots, they matched Algeria all the way, you know, so they were as good as Algeria were on the day on in terms of quality of what they were doing, and they believed in their philosophy, and it was a deserved win. By no stretch of the imagination was this a smash and grab.
Yeah, first ever AFCON win for Mauritania. So obviously first ever knockout appearance for Mauritania. Fairy tale story, but we have to, of course, focus on Algeria. Since winning the AFCON in 2019, six games, no wins. For me, it's paying the price for being too loyal. I think, Gabby, they were too loyal to the players who won in 2019. So that's the manager being too loyal. I don't think he refreshed the squad enough, even though he did bring in a few new faces for this tournament. But remember, this is a team, despite winning in 2019, they failed at the last AFCON. They failed to reach the last World Cup. So I think the federation was too loyal to the manager, Jamal Belmadi. I rated him highly, but it reminds me of Germany under Yogi Love. They stuck with him for too long. And when there's a downward spiral, you can't do that in international football.
No, the nature of the beast is to move on. You know, when things start going a little bit stale, you move on quickly. And sometimes it looks harsh, but they were very loyal to him and they believed maybe he can bring back, you know, the glory days. But it hasn't worked. It just hasn't worked. I think he's been far too loyal. There's been changes, like you said, as few players have come in, but the majority are still the same. And they just need to freshen things up because they are a nation that has great footballers. But they've just been too loyal to the successful side of the past, you know, and I think they need to move on. They listened to the fans because they were calling for players to get dropped. And Mahrez, in the end, was...
Yeah, he got dropped, didn't he? He listened to the fans, Belmadi, which I'm not sure is a positive, really, or a negative. He listened to the fans, I think.
Yeah, that's you know, when you start listening to fans, that means you're questioning yourself and what you believe in. So that again, brings doubt. And I'm not sure, he will stay on, obviously. I think that's it for him. I can't see it after this tournament. And Mahrez coming on made no difference whatsoever. So even him hitting back at the public and the critics that he got, you know, he didn't deliver the goods. So it's been a very bad tournament for Algeria. And they've just carried on this awful AFCON slump that they've been on.
Yeah, they were awful. So the Group D winners are Angola. They are out of the group stage for the first time, as in progressing from the group stage for the first time since they hosted the tournament in 2010. That's after a 2-0 win over Burkina Faso, who go through in second place. Mabalulu and Zini with the goals. They're going under the radar, Angola. But to be group winners shows you that they can't be written off now we're going through to the last 16.
No, they can't. They're going under the radar. To be honest with you, they're not playing brilliantly, but they're very efficient.
You don't think so? They're just efficient, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they're efficient. You know, they were out, you know, today I thought Burkina Faso had more chances in terms of they were a bit wild with their shooting. But I think Algeria, Angola, when they do face a proper, you know, a well-solid, well-drilled quality team, they will struggle. But for them, this is an achievement. We did not expect them, even in all our dark horses. No one thought of Angola, you know. We didn't think of them, but they topped the group. And that just tells you, again, what we've been repeating. You know, there's no real small nation anymore. You know, you're seeing a lot of these underdogs achieving things that we never thought were possible. And the groups, I don't think if anyone could have predicted the group standings before the tournament, I'm sure I don't think anyone would have got it right, because you're looking right down the groups, there's a shock there everywhere.
Yeah, Equatorial Guinea, Cap Verde and Angola have won their groups. It is remarkable. So let's move on to more drama, the Cameroon drama. Friend of world football at AFCON, Sebastian Bassong, always says that it's in the Cameroon DNA to get the job done, even when things are going against them. And he was proved right yet again. A 3-2 win over the Gambia. This was an absolute thriller. So the five-time champion securing second place in Group C on goals scored. Gambia at one stage looked to have ended Cameroon's hopes. They took a 2-1 lead with 5 minutes to go. But moments later, it was 2-2 due to an own goal. Then Christopher Wu rose to head a corner into the far corner of the net for the winner. The drama wasn't done there, because a Gambia player tried to do a Maradona. He handballed it into the net. He thought he'd made it 3-3, but VAR obviously picked it up. So Cameroon are through in dramatic circumstances. Let's get the reaction from a striker who won a Cup of Nations with Cameroon, also won an Olympic gold medal as well. It's Patrick Soufa.
I mean, the emotions are still very high, but it was a crazy, crazy game. At this level, we tend to have this mentality whereby we don't give up. We never give up. I mean, I think mentally Cameroon players have something more than all the other teams. We seem to be very, very strong mentally, and then always try to find a way to win those hard games. Even when it's not expected for us to win, we always find a way to win games. Mostly in the second half, they tried a little bit more. They search for it, they went for it, and then hopefully they play that way. They don't just sit back and watch Nigeria play. Hopefully they keep this spirit for the next game. Cameroon and Nigeria, we are neighbors, and it always been one of the biggest games in Cameroon football in our perspective anyway. The biggest rival from back in the days in African football, and then I know in those hard games, that's where we show our true colors.
Former Cameroon striker Patrick Soufa there. Yeah, Nigeria, Cameroon next. We'll get to that in a moment. I thought they showed character, Gabby. I thought they deserved the win. I thought they deserved to go through Cameroon.
Yeah, so do I. I thought they actually played well, you know, but there was a point they looked out, you know, and, you know, 85th minute when Gambia took the lead, I thought, oh, I really feared for Rigobert Song. But you've got to give him credit today because they never gave up. He's under a lot of pressure from the fans and the nations really starting to question Rigobert Song. And I think he made a big call by dropping Onana. That was a massive, massive
Yeah, we
call.
Have to mention that. Andre Onana dropped for this game. So his cousin Fabrice Ondoa started in his place. Remember, Onana turned up late with permission hours before their first game. So he didn't play that game. Played the second game, which they lost. And then dropped for this one. That's a massive call by Rigobert Song.
It was massive. I mean, that's a big call, because it could have gone two ways. If they got knocked out, and then there'll be questions of whether he should have done it or shouldn't he have. But then I think bringing him in was probably the mistake, because when he brought him in for the second game, they didn't quite look like they were clicking, you know. And today they showed a lot of character, and they won, and they got the job done. And I know Seb Bassong always goes on about it. He says when there's trouble in the camp, they seem to find a way through, and they proved him right again.
Yeah, and now it's Nigeria. So this is a repeat of the last 16 tie from the 2019 AFCON when Nigeria won 3-2. Odion Ighalo scored twice, and Alex Iwobi, who's in the current team, was also on the score sheet. What a game that will be. I'm sure we'll talk a lot more about that in shows to come. By the way, after the game, the Gambia head coach Tom Seinfeld resigned as manager of the Gambia. Famously, he led them to the quarterfinals of the last AFCON on their debut. So he did some brilliant things there, but he has gone. So Cameroon finished second in Group C because of a late goal by Senegal against Guinea. Senegal winning 2-0 to secure top spot, maintain their 100% record. Sek headed them in front. The key goal, though, was Unjai sealing the victory with a low finish. So that pushed goal difference in Cameroon's favour. So Guinea go through as well, but in third place. Your dark horse pick, Guinea. Bit of a slip up there. That might cost them. They play Equatorial Guinea next in the Guinea derby. Are you still backing them?
Oh, yeah. I'm still backing them. I mean, it could have been against anyone, but Senegal, we know they're the seasoned AFCON team right now. You know, they've got that spine that they keep producing the goods, and they just look the more accomplished side. They're efficient. They get the job done, but they always look comfortable. So they never really look in any danger. So because it was Senegal, you know, I can take that defeat for Guinea. but I think they'll be fine. I think they've got enough good players. And I think just having 4 points, I think they were quite confident they would have got that third spot anyway. But I think for them, they'll be happy with their tournament so far. They're progressing nicely.
Seru Guirassy started as well, back from injury. Yeah, Senegal hardly breaking sweat. They've been sensational so far. So today's results confirmed what Ghana fans already knew after their 2-2 draw against Mozambique on Monday night. The Black Stars are out. It's been another tough 24 hours for the Ghana fans.
Again, our goalkeeper is a bench warmer in South Africa. We've been telling them that this guy is not capable.
We are very sad, actually, because we're very hopeful. It's the players. They played. Me, I didn't play. I came to support. So it's their fault.
I'm feeling sad. Because we are going home. Seriously? I don't even know what to say. Sorry, okay, I'm sorry.
What football does to us. Oh, I feel for the Ghana fans. Very quick one though, Gabby. The hope for me for Ghana is with Mohamed Kudus. They've got to build the team around him. He could be genuinely world-class going forward.
He could, you know, he's shown promise. He's starting to come alive in the Premiership as well. And this little spark they had, the bit of quality we've seen, everything's come from him, you know. So they've got to restart. I think they've got to sort of break up everything and start again and just try and build around him and support him going forward. And hopefully his development will help the rest of the squad going forward.
So now we await the final matches from the group stage. In Group E, 2004 champions Tunisia must beat South Africa to have any chance of reaching the knockout stage. Very close in that group. In Group F, one of the favourites, Morocco, can book top spots with a win over Zambia. And Gabby's DR Congo need a result against Tanzania. So, Gabby, are you confident? Quick one on DRC. You confident in your boys?
Yeah, we'll be fine. I mean, we played against Zambia. We absolutely should have won that game. Probably should have won two matches with the amount of chances we had. We went toe-to-toe with Morocco. In the end, I thought we looked the stronger side, the more likely winners. So playing against the bottom side in the group, I think, yeah, it's a win for us.
I'm actually confident as well about my dark horse pick, South Africa against Tunisia, because I know for a fact that Bafana players actually feel the style of North African teams, kind of technical style, suits their game. Do you agree South Africa to go through in that group? Tunisia maybe crashing out?
Yeah, I think if I'm looking at the group closely, and I think they'll go through either way. I think they'll go through. If they get a result, they'll go through regardless. But yeah, South Africa, I think it will do the job. I don't know why Tunisia looked nervous in this tournament, just like Algeria did. And it's not quite clicked for them. Tomorrow they're under a lot of pressure, but I think South Africa will do just enough.
You're under pressure now. Your team, DR Congo. You thought today was nerve-wracking, Gabby. You are in for a very tough time. But I wish you well. I wish you well, Gabby. Thank you so much for joining us. That is all we got time for. We're all off for a lie down to prepare for the final groups. One regular day of AFCON is all I ask for. It'll never happen. Join us again next time on World Football at AFCON.
World Football at AFCON is a BBC Sport production from the BBC World Service.